Matthew chapter 12, we're looking into this book again. And Matthew's writing primarily to the Jews, as you, I hope, would know by now. And writing about the Messiah, the Lord that was to come. The Old Testament, God the Father promised a Messiah, promised one that would come. He knew the Jews would reject this Messiah, his own son. And he knew that he would postpone the kingdom that was promised, but that did not mean that he did not promise and would not have kept it had the Jews just accepted his son. But in chapter 12, verse 33, you want to look back into this verse and kind of take off again. It's just gotten through with the Pharisees saying that Jesus had cast out the demon by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, or the devil himself. And Jesus is making a point here in verse 33 in dealing with the tongue or the speech or really the heart. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now, we certainly understand that. You look at an apple tree, you know it's an apple tree because of the apples. And if you look at an apple tree and you see good apples, you realize it's a good tree. The fruit is the evidence, is the proof. But if you look at a tree, kind of like probably what I would have, and the fruit is puny and just shriveled up, and you can't hardly tell what it is, you know it has a corrupt root or it's a corrupt tree. And Jesus is making the point that the nature of the person, the nature of people, is revealed by what we say and what we do. Primarily in these verses, he's dealing with what was said. He's dealing with what was said by the Pharisees, in that they accused Jesus of using the power of the devil to cast out the demon. So he says, either make it good or make it bad. You can't have it both. And I believe that Jesus did this primarily for two reasons. Number one, he's talking about himself, because he talks about the good tree and the good fruit. And certainly I'm sure that he's referring to himself. I sure can refer to him. And talking about someone that is good, he went about doing good, the book of Acts says. If you will, he was a good person. He was God. And he did good things and he said good things. He was good and he did good things because he was good. And that's why Jesus said, if the tree's good, you can know it because of the fruit. And he's pointing to himself, no doubt, in that he had done good and the Pharisees should have known this. In fact, I don't see how they couldn't. They just could not stand, could not take, could not accept that this man was the Messiah, and it didn't matter to them what they did or what the cause, they just had to reject him. So I believe first, Jesus is referring primarily to himself here about the good tree, but that's surely true of us too. If we have a godly nature, we will do godly things. But then he also talks about a corrupt tree and corrupt fruit, and I feel sure that he has in mind here those Pharisees. The reason they said he cast the demon out by the power of the devil is because they had a corrupt heart, a corrupt nature. It shows you the depravity of man, how ungodly man can be. They saw the Son of God being used by the power of God to do something good for somebody who was helpless, and they said it's the devil. They are proving themselves to be evil. They are, if you will, the corrupt tree that Jesus mentions, because they have corrupt fruit. What they do and what they say reveals who they are and what they are. I'll say it again. Our fruit reveals who we are and what we are. If we wonder what we are, all we got to do is look around and see how we act, how we think, and what we do, and how we talk. Look on in verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And see here, he's talking now about the Pharisees, and not just the Pharisees, but all the Jews that rejected him. And he says, oh, generation of vipers. I've heard some people say, sure would love to hear Jesus preach. I wish Jesus lived today. I'd love to hear him preach. I'm not sure most of us can handle his preaching. We get upset when a preacher gets hard or harsh or abrupt or direct. Well, Jesus was all those things. He looked them eyeball to eyeball and called them a bunch of snakes. That's pretty direct. But he spoke the truth. He did not play games with the Pharisees. He called them a bunch of vipers. The viper he was talking about, probably more than one species that would apply, but it was a probably small poisonous snake. And they were colored in such a fashion that they could be laying there in the sand or on a rock or near you and you couldn't see them. And they laid there in wait for somebody to come. And when somebody was close enough, they would strike and they would sink their fangs into the skin and pump the venom in. And some of these vipers were so poisonous, in just a few minutes you were dead. And Jesus said, this is just how the Pharisees were. Now remember, this is the religious bunch. This is the bunch that would be at church every time the doors were open. These would be the ones that have their name in offices and doing what we would call good things. But they have revealed themselves by what they've said. And Jesus said, you're just like a bunch of vipers. He uses a snake as an illustration to describe these people. And he says, you're just like that viper. You're dangerous and you're deadly. Now, you look so good, and the snake can be right there, and you don't even notice it. You don't see the danger, don't sense the caution that should be taken. But he said, you, even though you may look the part, you're a viper. You're dangerous and you're deadly. And the reason he says that is because of their false doctrine. You know, some of the most eloquent speakers of the day and every day in this thing of religion are those who tell lies that are wrong about their doctrine. Some of the most eloquent orators are those who spew out the poison of false doctrine. So it was with these Pharisees. And Jesus said he called them evil. Evil, he says in verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil? He didn't beat around the bush. He doesn't hold back. He just tells the truth as it is. Again, we see the depravity of man, how man, listen, without Christ is evil. Man does not have a good heart. Man does not have a good nature without Christ. It's evil, like the dangerous vipers that Jesus is referring to here. We all are born in sin because of our granddaddy Adam. And until that old nature is dealt with by the new nature, the Holy Spirit moving in will always live. It may look nice and be religious and dress pretty and be moral, but Jesus said it's a bunch of vipers. He, again, is setting the Pharisees up for the kill. He said, hey, listen to what he's saying. The words we speak reveal our heart. Read it again. Whole generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we want to know what's in here, all we got to do is listen to what comes out here. That's exactly what he's saying. From the abundance of the heart, the word abundance literally means something that is so full that it's running over. It's like the old pressure cookers. That thing gets like that, and you ever tried knocking that off? That's not wise at all. But the pressure inside has reached the full capacity where it has a release valve, and it comes out of the top. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Those words you're spewing out, those things you've said, all that is your heart overrunning. It has found the release point. You have said these words because that is what you are. From the abundance of your heart, you have spoken. So the old saying, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Elihu had this same kind of thought where he says in Job, he finally gets his turn and he says, I tell you what, I'm just been sitting here listening to y'all and I'm just about to bust. And here's what he says. He in essence says, I have got to say something or bust. That's the Shoemaker translation. Here's what he says. Let the words of my mouth... No, let me hear. I'm about to read the wrong one. For I am full of the matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which have no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. He says, boy, I got something swelling up in me. I just got to say something. If I don't say something, I'm going to burst. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. What is said by the Pharisees is a revelation of what's inside. All they did was let out what was inside, and he said it was evil. It was vile. But he's not just talking to the Pharisees. He's not just talking about them. He's talking about us also. For what we say reveals who we are and what we are. Those questionable words that we might say sometimes, those things that we say that we may should not or probably shouldn't or just simply should not. Those questionable words, we wonder where they come from. I'll tell you, they come from within. They come from our heart. And they tell us what type of person we are. They tell us what kind of person we are. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. The righteousness inside comes forth like a well. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. He's just simply saying again, whatever's inside is going to come out. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in these verses. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. He's saying, what you've said, it's just proof of what's inside. You just let it come out. Look on in verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Well, I sure do like that. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart. The word treasure literally means a storehouse, and usually you would equate that to treasures, valuables. You put your jewelry in the safe. You put your money in the safe. You put your bank account in the bank. It's a storehouse. It's a treasure house, and that's what Jesus is talking about. And he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. He says, if you're a good and godly person, you'll live good and godly lives. You'll say good and godly things. Look on to verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, that word idle means thoughtless, useless, without thought. And I wondered about this. I wondered how many words do we say every day that would fall into those categories. Useless or without thought. We say it without thinking. Or there's no production. There's no good. There's no value. It's aimless. It's just talk, just words. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. these thoughtless and useless and idle words, something without a positive aim. He said, every one of those we'll give an account of. Now, he's no doubt has in mind the Pharisees and those vile words of saying, you cast that demon out by the power of the devil. No doubt he means that, because they are not valuable or useful. They're harmful and vile and lying words. But he's speaking about more than just that. For he says idle words. Any word we speak without really thought, nothing, something that accomplishes no good, maybe even injurious words that hurt and harm. He said, we'll stand before the Lord and give an account of every one of those. We should consider what we say. I don't think this is speaking against just casual conversation. But I do think it tells us that we should be very careful in what we say, even in our casual conversation, because he said what he's really saying is there's not one word we ever utter since we've been saved that we won't give an account of. Man, that's sort of scary, but it's true. It's true. David understood this. He said this, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And I just want to mention for the next few minutes some things about our lips and the things we say. He says every idle word we'll give an account of. We'll stand before the Lord and give an account of what we say. Look at verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Listen to this. By thy words you'll be justified, forgiven, saved, heaven bound. By thy words thou shalt be condemned, lost, sinful, heading to hell. Man alive, what a serious thought that is. By our words. I want to say first, our words are proof. Our words can be proof. You want to know one of the ways you can tell if a person's saved or not? If they're right with the Lord, they'll talk like a Christian. They'll talk like a Christian talks. Jesus said, he said, our words will prove if we're lost or saved. That's exactly what he's saying. Why? Because our words are a product of our heart. What we say, what goes out, is a result of what's inside. So if we talk in ways that are ungodly, it's proof that we are ungodly. If we talk like a lost person, it's pretty sure we are a lost person. If we talk like a saved person, it's pretty good sure evidence that we are. Now, it's not always cut and dry, because sometimes Christians talk like they shouldn't. And sometimes lost people talk pretty good. But he says in general, the general rule is our voice, our words will prove that we're really saved or not. And that does make sense. James said it like this, that if we don't bridle our tongue, we're deceived and our religion is vain. He says that he sure seems to agree with Jesus, and that's a good side to be on. If we want to know what we really are, listen to what we say. If we want to know how really right or not we are, listen to what we say. Listen to yourself when the heat is on, when things don't work out, when somebody pulls out in front of you and you're in a hurry, when the waitress gets the order wrong, when the boss is complaining again, when we're in the heat, what we say will reveal what we are. That's exactly what he's saying. So if we want to measure our spirituality, that's when we need to measure. How do I speak and what do I say when things are going bad? I put this down. It's a shame that waitresses, at least in our country, every one of them say the worst day of the week is Sunday. That church bunch comes in rude and impolite and impatient and demanding, that's a disgrace. He says, what's in the heart will come out of the mouth. It's kind of like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. What we take into our heart. Our words can be proof. They can prove whether we're lost or not, lost or saved. Our words can be pointless, he said, every idle word. It's just like saying a word that, it's almost a waste of time. It does nothing, it says nothing, it changes nothing. It accomplishes nothing. It's an idle word. It means useless. I'll say it again. How many words do we say every day that has no spiritual value? Now, I've got a typo there. I wish it wasn't. Men, on average, speak 25,000 words a day. And women, on average, speak 30,000 a day. I know some men who speak less, and I know some women who speak more. I know some men who speak more. That's on average. And my point is this, of all those words that we say every day, how many idle words do we speak? How many words do we say that really has no produce or no good? I believe it. So many times we talk, I don't think we mean to, in a hypocritical way. I've told you this before, probably. I'll just tell you again, just act like you hadn't heard it. I met a preacher one time. It was at a family member had passed away, and I went to the house, was visiting, and there was a preacher there. I knew him. He had not met me. He didn't know who I was. Didn't know I was a preacher. And I was around several minutes. I heard him talking. I was right there in the same room. And after about 5 minutes or so, the lady of the house introduced me to this preacher and introduced me as Rick Shoemaker, pastor, True Gospel Baptist Church. All of a sudden, man, there was a transformation with this preacher. All of a sudden, every other word, praise God, hallelujah, yes, amen. And I thought, where is that when you didn't know I was a preacher? I don't know his heart. He's a good man. I believe he loves the Lord. I believe he tries to serve God. I'm not talking that negative about him except to make this point. All those words, seemingly, in my opinion, seem somewhat hypocritical to try to impress me. Now, I might be wrong. Don't think I am, but I might be wrong. But I am saying this, that can happen. We can say and talk in a way to try to impress or make somebody think that we're something that we aren't. Every bit of that's idle, and every bit of it will burn up when we stand before the Lord. Our words can be pointless. Our words can be profitable. Well, I want to tell you, why did God design preaching and witnessing and teaching and exhortation and admonition and rebuke? And exhortation, all those words imply someone speaking. Words, you know why? Because words can help. What we say can profit. What we say can be used of God. You can encourage the discouraged. You can inform the ignorant. You can warn the wicked. You can help somebody who desperately needs it. I'll tell you something, there's been times in my life just a few words from somebody sure did help me. I'm telling you, words can be profitable. Jesus said, it's either a good tree with good fruit or a bad tree with bad fruit. And he says, these words can be profitable. They can. I can use you. He talks about teaching and admonition and exhortation and even singing. All these things that speak of what we say, all these things that speak of our utterance, our words. Our words also can be powerful. James talks about the tongue like a bit in a horse's mouth. It's that little piece of metal you just tug a little bit, man, that horse turns. And he talks about the tongue like a rudder of a ship. Comparatively speaking, that rudder is small compared to the vastness of the ship. But that rudder has the power to control the entire ship, wherever the governor or the captain wants to go. And our words can be that powerful. Sometimes they may seem small to you, but there's no telling what God might do. A hurting person who needs help desperately. Just your few words may be what they need. Turn around. Your few words, a lost person heading to hell and glad to go. God may use that in a powerful way and use those words. How can they believe? Except they hear. Somebody has to tell, not just preachers. Our words can be powerful. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You may be the one who speaks the word to that wayward saint, hard and unconcerned. God may use you with your lips, your words. Powerful. Our words also can be poison. That's exactly what the Pharisees' words were. They were poison. He said, you're like that viper. You're deadly. You're dangerous. You harm, and you intend to. Our words hopefully are not always intended to be poison and harmful and destructive. But James says our tongue is like a fire. It consumes. It destroys. When we don't say the right thing, when we do say the wrong thing, our words can be destructive. They can be like poison. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. He says, help me to be careful. Help me to keep my mouth shut when I'm supposed to. Proverbs 11:9, and the hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Just a few moments of speaking can destroy a lifetime testimony. It takes a lifetime to build a testimony. And we say the wrong thing about somebody, say the wrong thing to the wrong person, it'll be on everything in the next 5 minutes in a person who may be innocent, their testimony is destroyed. Even if they're guilty of something, it does more damage. Yeah, I'm saying our words can be poison. We need to guard ourselves. Make sure we don't say something in the heat of the moment. When we don't allow the Holy Spirit to control our lips, our words, there's no telling what we might say. And we may and probably will say something we will regret. And we can even go apologize, but the damage is done. That person may forgive us and really forgive us, but it sometimes just does something that never can be repaired. So we need to make sure that we speak rightly and speak godly. James 3:2, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Our words can be helpful or harmful. And then lastly, our words can be punished. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account. I guarantee you, all of us, there's going to be, I don't know if the word punish is the best, but you understand it. For punishment is not just spankings or whippings, or punishment also is withholding something good. We were going to go to the park. We can't now because of how you acted. You're going to get ice cream, and you can understand the mentality that I'm at in the pawpaw days. You're going to get ice cream. You did that. You said this. You said the other. You misbehaved, and your punishment is not getting what you would have gotten. And the rewards that we could get, we'll lose. because of words that we said that we shouldn't have. We'll give an account. The word account has the idea of intent, of not just what we said, but why we said it, our intentions, the reason. Verse 38, then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Let me just deal with this verse and I'll quit. I got to be honest, that's one of the dumbest statements I ever read in the Bible. These scribes and Pharisees look at the Lord. Number one, they call him Master, which means teacher. They hadn't learned a thing from him because they wouldn't listen, wouldn't receive. But they tell him, show us a sign. In essence, they're saying, if you will show us a sign, we will believe you. And I want to say, you dummies, he has healed thousands upon thousands of people right in your vision. You saw a lot of it. He's healed people. He's helped people. He's forgiven people. And you've seen their life change when they got saved. And you're saying, show us a sign. But they're not asking for another healing or another raising of the dead. What they have in mind is something supernatural, something astronomical. They're saying, Jesus, just wave your hands and spell your name in fire across the sky. We'll believe you then. Or just speak the words and let all the planets line up and make a perfect circle. And then we'll believe you. If you're God, you ought to be able to do that. And that's what they're saying. And to be honest, he could have. They're asking, I want to ask you a question. What in the world did they expect? If what they have seen has not convinced them that he is who he claimed to be, hey, if he had written his name in fire, they'd say, oh, that's a trick. So my point is, they're demanding of him to do something to prove that he is who he is. And by the way, you don't box God in a corner. Nobody dictates to God. That's why lost people say, if there's a God, let him show me. I remember when we were little, my mama was working in a tobacco field. We were sitting on the back of a pickup. And it started thundering and lightning. And man, I mean lightning just shooting all around us. And one of them boys jumped up and said, God, kill me if you're there. I tell you what, as a little boy, that scared me to death. You know what? He didn't get struck. But you know what? That didn't mean there's not a God. Here's these people saying, if you are who you claim to be, prove it just like we demand. And God says, you ain't going to back me into a corner. I don't get intimidated. It's amazing what people expect from God. But I can't point to them. I had to point to me. All that he does for me. And sometimes I still complain and still ask him why he didn't do it my way and why he did it this way and why he allowed this to happen. And so we're not too different than the Pharisees. I think the Pharisees were like a bunch of spoiled brats. If they didn't get their way, they'd take their toys and run home. But God said, if you don't want to play, fine with me. I have done enough. Listen, I have done enough. If you were open, you'd believe. And that's how the world is. They say, show me and I'll believe. God always says, you believe and I'll show you. And there's something about that faith that activates God. Well, thank you so much for being here. Let's stand together.